Coming up on the Hockey News pregame show, Elias Pettersson strikes it rich in Vancouver. Where does he rank among the league's highest paid players?
Less than a week from the trade deadline, the dominoes have already begun to fall.
And joining us from LA, we've got Kings site editor Austin Stanovich on a team that's probably going to be in the playoffs.
I'm Ryan Kennedy.
I'm Michael Trakos, and this is the Hockey News pregame show brought to you by BetMGM and NorthlandHockey.com. Welcome to the Hockey News pregame show. I'm Michael Trakos. With me, as always, is Ryan Kennedy. And Ryan, we are fast approaching the NHL trade deadline, less than a week away. Dominoes are already starting to fall. And not only that, players are getting contract extensions. And let's start with Elias Pettersson out of Vancouver. He's now the fifth highest paid player in the NHL. $11.6 million over 8 years. Are you a little surprised that it came this high, Ryan? And, you know, I guess there was speculation that the Canucks might have moved this guy.
Yeah, I mean, starting with the contract itself, I think it's fair value. You know, for a guy that is in his prime right now and will still have a number of prime years, we know the cap's going up. Yes, he's one of the highest paid players in the league, but he's a number one center. He's a top 10 scorer in the NHL.
Yep.
What else do you want? You know, like, that's the kind of guy you build around. And, you know, we've talked about the Canucks a lot this season, and rightfully so. For me, if you're going to be a true contender, you got to be solid with three positions. You need a number one center, a number one D-man, a number one goalie.
Yep.
Demko's in net. Quinn Hughes is your number one on the back end. Elias Pettersson's your number one center. And I think it's fair. You know, I think it's a good deal. I don't think Vancouver's going to regret it at any point, even though it is 8 years. Like, you're getting the best of Elias Pettersson. And for Pettersson, you are recognized as one of the elite players in the NHL with this deal.
100%. I agree with everything you said. And let's not forget, William Nylander got $11.5 million. Mm-hmm. And given the choice, I want Pettersson.
Yeah.
One, he's a center. He's younger. We're talking about a guy who's won the Calder Trophy. You mentioned top 10 scorer. You look at that draft, even. People forget, like, Nico Hischier was number one pick that year. Pettersson went right after Cale Makar at the number five spot. I think you do that draft over again, Pettersson's probably your number two pick behind Makar. Maybe you put him at number three if you like Miro Heiskanen more. But what you said, on a Vancouver Canucks team where you've got Quinn Hughes, Thatcher Demko, and Pettersson as your core, you're locked up now.
Totally.
You don't have to worry about the future.
Totally, yeah. And for Vancouver, they're having such a great season. And, you know, I think we'll talk about this in a second. There were the rumors of, you know, were there trade talks with Carolina? This could be the Canucks' year, right? Like, they could win it all this year. You don't want those distractions lingering.
No.
You want to get this guy under contract. You want to confirm to him that he is your man.
Well, and they've done that. You just traded for Elias Lindholm, too, right?
Yeah. Like,
that sent signals to not just Pettersson, but the entire dressing room that, you know, we're in it to win it.
Mm-hmm.
So when those trade rumors came out that Pettersson might be shipped somewhere else, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And, hey, was it just a negotiating tactic from the wily Jim Rutherford, right? Because, I mean, let's address it now. You know, the rumor was that maybe he was going to get moved to the Carolina Hurricanes. Now, for me, if I'm the Canucks, what do I ask in return for Elias Pettersson? Because, again, you're a Stanley Cup contender. You know, moving your number one center, I would be asking for Sebastian Aho.
Or Svechnikov.
Svechnikov's not a center.
Right? Oh, but you're saying you have to get a center back.
I think if you're Vancouver this year, where you have everything lining up for you and you've already traded for Lindholm, who's the perfect number two center for you,
yeah,
you got to be asking for, like, Sebastian Aho and, like, a first.
You think that would have been the...
That would have been my ask? Like, you can play Don Waddell here.
But that's the perfect reason why Pettersson wasn't going to get moved. Because
exactly.
If you're going to have to get that kind of return for him, well, then Carolina doesn't want to make that trade. Because
right, you're just upsetting the chemistry of your own room.
And you're giving way too much for equal parts, I think.
Well, close to. Like, would you rather have Aho or Pettersson?
I think they're equal. I think the only difference is possibly age.
Mm.
I love Aho as a player. I think he doesn't get quite the amount of fanfare just because he's out in Carolina. Similarly, we were talking about Heiskanen. It's like, you put Heiskanen in Montreal, and it's like, oh, my God, this guy's a Norris Trophy candidate year after year.
Yeah.
I think the same thing with Aho. I think we kind of sleep on him, the fact that he's just out there in Carolina and doesn't get the notice. But
fair enough.
Yeah, you know, like just back to it. Like, for me, the Canucks are maybe not the team to beat, but they're definitely a dangerous team out of the Pacific. That, you know, because they've got Demko, because they have all those pieces there. Like, we might be looking at Lindholm, and I was having this debate earlier this week. You know, the trade deadline can come and go, and we might be looking at the Lindholm trade as the best one that happened all year.
Yeah, and you know, we've talked about this before, where it's not, I mean, Lindholm was a big name, but it's not always necessarily the splashiest name that becomes that key component to a cup-winning team. It's often like a depth guy that fills like a particular role, a Michael Hanzus, as we always like to bring up.
A Ron Hainsey going to Pittsburgh.
There you go, exactly. Yeah. A guy who had never been in the playoffs before and then went straight to winning the Stanley Cup with the Penguins.
Yeah, that being said, you get a guy like Lindholm, it solves a lot of problems.
Indeed.
The question is, does Chris Tanev solve a lot of problems for the Dallas Stars? And you know what? I'm very partial to Chris Tanev, fellow Macedonian.
Nice.
He's from East York in Toronto. So I thought, you know, he would have been a perfect guy for the Leafs to nab, just that hometown guy. At the same time, with the miles he's got on his body and the age that he's at right now, I question as to what kind of impact he's going to be making in the playoffs. What do you see as, you know, the upside in Tanev going to Dallas?
Yeah, well, you know, speaking of Miro Heiskanen, what if they pair up?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
A roamer with a guy who's just going to sit back there and clean up all the mess.
Exactly. That I know that had been floated out there when that trade it was initially announced. For Dallas, I mean, they're already a very good defensive team. So this is, to me, GM Jim Nill dotting all the I's, crossing all the T's, saying, I want to be as prepared as possible for a playoff run. Because, again, I have said this time and again, almost weekly, I think Dallas could win the Stanley Cup this year. Because if you look at it, they are one of those teams that... Do they have a number in goalie? Yeah, they got Jake Oettinger.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have a number in defenseman? Yeah, they got one in Miro Heiskanen. They have a number of weapons up front, both young and old, which is a great luxury. I know Tyler Seguin's banged up right now, but if you look at the weapons they have, whether it's Joe Pavelski or Jason Robertson, Wyatt Johnston.
Logan Stankoven. The hottest player in the NHL right now.
Exactly, got sent down again, but maybe it was just for cap purposes.
Know what else they got going for them? You can't win a cup unless you've got a bunch of guys who are making far less than they're worth.
Good point.
So you look at, you know, when Pittsburgh won the first time, they had Malkin on his entry-level deal. The second time they won, Jake Gensel was getting paid like nothing.
Yeah.
Chicago, it was that same formula. Dallas has a lot of young guys now that haven't got that, you know, that pay bump after their ELC.
Wyatt Johnston, for example, yeah.
Or even like a Stankoven. Like,
yeah.
You're going to forget about Seguin not being there because you've got a guy like him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like Logan Stankoven's doing something that we didn't expect. Like, he was tearing it up in the minors.
Totally.
This year. So,
yeah,
that Dallas team, that's central, man. That's a sneaky division. Because we keep talking Atlantic, Pacific, and Metro, obviously, and they're all crowded. And you forget, like, the Central's got the Colorado Avalanche, who are probably my number one pick right now for the Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And
Winnipeg.
Jesus, man.
Yeah. The only problem the Central has is that you got Colorado, Winnipeg, and Dallas. Two of those teams are going to play each other in the first round.
It's just another reason why, how important is it to win your division?
Totally. Or to get the wild card. to avoid one of your other, you know, like maybe St. Louis is like, we don't have to be too good.
Yeah, maybe.
Or Nashville or whoever it happens to be.
Maybe I want to be a wild card and play Vancouver because they don't scare me quite as much as Dallas does. So, listen, after the break, we got more trade deadline talk. We're going to be chatting about who the Leafs picked up. It wasn't universally praised, let's put it that way.
It was not.
Stick with us. Hockey News Pregame Show coming up.
Hey there, everybody. This is Ryan Kennedy, Editor-in-Chief of the Hockey News, and I have a new web column, Future Watch Weekly, that you should keep an eye out for. Every week, I look at the developmental world of hockey from NCAA, Major Junior, all points in between. So check it out every Friday morning at THN.com. Welcome back to the Hockey News Pregame Show. And Mike, let's talk about some surprising superstars this year. Zach Hyman of the Edmonton Oilers and Sam Reinhart of the Florida Panthers are both on pace for 50 goals.
Wow.
Yes, Mike Bossy territory. Did we see this from either of them? Because, I mean, let's face it, both very solid players, both the kind of guys you want if you're a playoff team. But 50 goals, like Zach Hyman was a seventh rounder. Sam Reinhart was a very high pick.
Yeah.
But 50 goals, what do we make of this other than the fact that they obviously also play with some very talented folk?
Well, and that's the thing, Ryan. Like, let's not forget, like, Zach Hyman wasn't scoring 50 goals in Toronto because, well, he's playing with Austin Matthews, and Austin Matthews is a great scorer, obviously. Mm-hmm. How many assists does he have this year?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah, so there's a reason why Austin Matthews, I don't think, is a top five point getter this year, because it's all goals, not so many assists. Mm. However, Connor McDavid is on pace for 100 assists this year.
Right.
So it's not a surprise that the guy benefiting from this is Zach Hyman. Since going to Edmonton, his goal scoring output has just jumped through the roof. Mm-hmm. I love Zach Hyman as a player. Way back when, I was on record saying I thought they should have kept Hyman and got rid of Nylander instead, just because of need and what was a better fit. So, yeah, you know, he's playing the Bernie Nichols type of role for Edmonton. The bigger surprise for me, though, is Sam Reinhart.
Yeah.
Covered him for years in Buffalo, didn't see any of this. And you got to remember, he was playing with Jack Eichel and wasn't as prolific as he is right now. So something's happening in Florida. Paul Maurice has got them playing a great run-and-gun style, and Sam Reinhart is also playing with some really good players.
Yeah. One thing I noticed at the All-Star weekend in Toronto on media day when the guys were just, you know, walking around in shirts and you know, T-shirts and such.
Yeah.
Because, again, like, you know, like, I remember Sam Reinhart from his junior days and covering World Juniors and stuff like that. He looks a lot bigger now. And talking to some of our Florida guys like David Dworak, he was like, yeah, like, he's stronger than he was 5, 6, 7 years ago. And I wonder if that plays a part of it, is just he's sort of developed into a player that, you know, we know he's hard to play against, but he's obviously hard to defend against as well, because he can bring that heaviness to the offensive zone.
It's funny, when you talk about Sam Reinhart, the thing that always stood out was he's a terrible skater. He's not fast, but he's got that hockey IQ. And even in his draft year, it was always like, well, you might not be a superstar, but you're just going to get a guy that's, you're not going to complain about. He's a coach's dream. He's just a smart player. Obviously, a son of an NHLer.
Yeah.
But you look at that draft, and obviously Ekblad went one, Reinhart went two, and then it was like Draisaitl.
Yeah.
Sam Bennett was in there. Nylander was in there. A lot of people after that draft were saying, and this is after Reinhart's final year in junior, that, you know, this guy's looking like a bust.
Mm-hmm.
And even in Buffalo, like, it wasn't putting up, you know, top two pick type numbers. So I'm really happy for Sam that it's kind of working out that way. And I guess the big question in Florida is, like, what do you do with him?
Right.
Like, come after the season, because this guy is also doing it in a contract year.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, he's going to be one of the most coveted free agents if it gets to that point.
Do you see this as a replicable season?
Who? I mean, he did play really well in their run to the Stanley Cup final last year. So is this a matter of a player really figuring out his game? Is he the next Joe Pavelski, where he just keeps getting better with age?
Yeah, because like I said, the hockey IQ, he's just figuring out, like, okay, he knows his limitations and where to be on the ice. So
he might not be the first guy there, but he knows exactly where to go once he gets there. And, you know, I mean, there's something to that. I will say, if he doesn't re-sign with Florida, like if he hits the open market, mm-hmm. he's probably getting $1 million, maybe $2 million more than he should. Just because that's how things work, right? Like what would be a fair, like when I think of Sam Reinhart, I think
there's
eight or nine?
With Reinhart, I think there's intangibles because I think if he leaves Florida and he goes to another team, he's quite possibly could be going as like a captain, definitely an assistant captain. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm with you. Less than 10, probably, 8.5 or 9.
Yeah, and you give him 7 years because that's the premium you're going to have to.
If you're going to pay him that much, you might as well get
the full boat.
Yeah, because the cap's going up.
And going back to Hyman, you know, when he left Toronto, mm-hmm. I think, you know, there was certainly fans that thought Toronto should have retained him. I'll admit, I thought it was smart for Toronto to let him go because I thought he was going to price himself out on the open market. And he did get a nice chunk of cash from the Oilers. But was this one of the best free agent signings we've seen in, say, the past decade? Because I'll admit, like, what he's doing in Edmonton, it's like, damn, they got everything they were hoping for and more from him.
It's weird because the Edmonton got, did they get Jack Campbell the same year as well? So they solved, like, I think their goaltending problem and
they thought they did.
Yeah, I think that was like 5 times 5.
O'Connor says no.
Our producer
year after
is correct. The year after?
Yeah. Okay.
Are you sure?
Or the
Are you even checking with us? Well, I like the Hyman. I think the Hyman signing, I don't know if it's the best free agent signing, although I'm trying to think now, like who has signed recently that's been better? I'll just say it's exactly what Edmonton needed.
Yeah.
You know, along with Evander Kane, it's made them a tougher team to play against. And, you know, Connor McDavid has always been searching for wingers that are not named Leon Draisaitl.
Right.
So he can balance out the lineup. And I think Hyman has provided that in, you know, in more ways than one. So, and again, we were talking about this in the past segment. You know, I forget who we were saying about, but like, so there's some guys that are just you get for the regular season, and then it's the playoffs come around, and you're like, I don't know who's going to be. I think it was Panarin you're saying.
Right.
You know, hasn't really delivered. Yeah. A guy like Hyman, no matter what he's doing right now, I think you just multiply it by 2 in the playoffs.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's stick on Toronto-related matters. The Leafs just grabbed Ilya Lyubushkin in a trade with Anaheim. There was some capturing done along the way, so he was actually Toronto is paying him less in terms of salary cap than the league minimum, which they would have to do because obviously the Leafs have a big cap crunch. Is this it for the Leafs? Lyubushkin, I think we would agree, is, you know, maybe a sixth defenseman, maybe even a seventh, but in Toronto, you know, you could pair him with somebody better than that and just have him as that stay-at-home guy. He has played for Toronto before. I guess we'll start off with how we feeling about this and do we think more is coming for the Leafs on the defensive end?
Well, the jury is out as to whether this is a good deal or not. Mm-hmm. I feel like, and I was telling you this before, like, you know, we're 8 months into Brad Treliving's tenure in Toronto and it feels like fans have already, you know, he doesn't have the benefit of the doubt anymore with Leaf fans.
Right.
Whether it's, you know, the contract extensions they thought they paid too much for, some of the summer off-season signings like John Klingberg haven't worked out, or Ryan Reeves. But, you know, Lyubushkin, again, when Dubas acquired him, fans love Lyubushkin. The Leafs bring this guy in, I think they're thinking, okay, this doesn't make the Leafs any better. All it does is just add another guy who's going to be battling for, like you said, the 6th or 7th spot. Ultimately, I think the Leafs are kind of, they've painted themselves in a corner right now. They don't have the cap space to go out big game hunting.
Right.
They had to get 2 teams to swallow some salary to even get Lyubushkin on for less than the league minimum. So, you know, what, you know, Kalle Janmark's coming back in the lineup. If you're going to take on some players right now, you have to send some players out the door. So it is a tricky situation that the Leafs are in.
Yeah, fair enough. And, you know, when we look at a Noah Hanifin, a Sean Walker, a Nick Seeler, you think that's probably off the board at this point for them? Unless it's a hockey trade, salary going out.
Yeah, it can't just be you're sending Easton Cowan or some picks out the door. I think you have to send a Nick Robertson.
Yeah.
You might have to send maybe a Connor Timmins. Even that, how much are those guys making? You're going to
have. Not much.
Yeah, you're really in a tough spot. Are you willing to part ways with a Max Domi to make it work? Again, if you do that, then you lose your number two center. So, you know, as constructed, the Toronto Maple Leafs are in a number three spot. I would argue that they have all the pieces there to be as competitive as they need to be. The only question is, are the teams around them going to get better in this next week?
Fair enough. Well, one team that's getting better in the West right now is the Los Angeles Kings. We've got Austin Stanovich, our Los Angeles team site editor, to talk about them after the break. So stick with us. Hey there, this is Ryan Kennedy, editor-in-chief of the Hockey News, and Future Watch is out now. Our annual look at NHL prospect pipelines. We have our cover story, the St. Louis Blues, and we rank the top 100 drafted prospects in hockey. So check it out now, thn.com/free or in your mailbox.
Welcome back to the Hockey News pregame show. We're joined by Austin Stanovich, our LA Kings site editor. And Austin, you know, going into the All-Star break, there was a lot of problems going on with the LA Kings. Obviously, Todd McLellan since then has been removed from head coach, and we got Jim Hiller in place. And, you know, the Kings are surging. I wouldn't call them a massive threat out of the Pacific, but definitely a dark horse team that could give team fits. What's been the difference since Hiller's taken over?
Yeah, you know, there hasn't been a ton of structural change with Jim Hiller. He was obviously Tom McClellan's assistant coach, and his big message was he's not going to blow things up and make a lot of changes. His opinion on it was that this team was just lacking confidence. They just needed maybe a new voice in there. So we haven't seen a ton of on-ice changes. It's just been a lot of kind of changing the message, getting the confidence back in the group. And I will say the one big thing we have seen Jim Hiller do is the way he manages games and manages lines is completely different to Todd McLellan. Todd was very stubborn, feels a little harsh on him, but I mean, he was a little stubborn with his lines. He didn't like to make a ton of changes. We didn't see much change in game. Jim Hiller is the complete opposite. It feels like every game we have a new line combination. He likes to make in-game changes. We've seen a lot of games where if they're coming into the third period leading a game, Trevor Lewis gets bumped up as a more defensively responsible forward to hold leads. If they're trailing a game, he'll bump up someone like Alex Turcotte or Arthur Kaliev, kind of high-skill young guys to try and chase the lead. So as far as changes, that's kind of the only thing is the lines and then the messages kind of reinstilling some confidence into this team.
Right on. And, you know, Austin, we've been talking a lot about the trade deadline. Obviously, it's coming up less than a week now. But it doesn't feel like Los Angeles has really been in a lot of rumors. Do you anticipate much movement with the Kings, or is this a matter of, you know, Rob Blake has his roster and maybe at most we see like a tweak?
Yeah, I think it would have to be just a tweak at most because their cap situation. They obviously have a little bit of relief with the Victor Arvidsson LTIR situation, but according to Cap Friendly, they only have about $2.5 million, which isn't enough to add a very significant piece. And the only piece they can really send the other way would be someone like Arthur Kaliev, who does not carry a significant cap hit. So it would be very difficult to add a meaningful piece. I think Rob Blake would love to add if he could. If he could add another goal scoring winger, especially in the absence of Adrian Kempe right now, that would be great. But that just doesn't feel realistic right now. Going back to the preseason, Rob Blake continuously said, this is our roster. This is the roster we want. We're comfortable with it. And they're in a situation where that's going to have to be the truth. They just simply do not have the cap space to make a move.
Well, you know what? They might not have to make a move if a guy like Quinton Byfield continues to, really have this breakout season. Mm-hmm. And I think there were some question marks as to what kind of player Byfield was going to be. You know, Ryan and I talked about it numerous times, and we said, you know, a big power forward like him. And, you know, we both got to watch Byfield when he was like playing minor hockey.
Yeah.
He dominated at his age level because he was just so darn big. And, you know, sometimes it takes longer for those guys to really find their footing in the NHL. He's found his footing. that goal he scored where he just turned Zacharensky inside out might go down as the goal of the year. And obviously Connor McDavid's probably going to have something to say about that, but you know, what can you make of Byfield's play this year?
He's been, you know, I said it to some of my friends a couple days ago. We went from he was emerging as a star in this league to now I think he has emerged as a star. And it does just take time sometimes with these guys. We all expect everyone to come in now and be Connor McDavid and be Austin Matthews, 30-goal, like, you know, point-per-game player. It just isn't really realistic, especially for a guy with his size. He's playing with a new confidence. After that Werenski goal that you brought up, I had asked him, you know, do you even try and make that play a year ago? And he kind of laughed. I was like, no, I'm dumping that puck in a year ago. I didn't have the confidence to make that play. So I think that's what we're really seeing from him, is just a guy who now knows he can make plays at the NHL level. And the skill's never been a doubt. I mean, there's never been a doubt that Quentin Byfield is a high-end skill player. We're seeing a guy who's physically more mature, who's now able to make these kinds of plays. And it's easy to forget, he's had a lot of underrated injury issues. Broke his ankle before what was going to be his rookie year. Last year, he had the wrist issues that kind of nagged him all year, and then he lost 20 pounds in the first month of the season to an illness. So this is the first time we've seen Quentin Byfield 100% healthy and get a long stretch of games with a significant role, and it's paying off in a big way for this Kings team.
Right on. Yeah. Now, another player that is obviously integral to the Kings' success is goaltender Cam Talbot. And it felt like at one point, you know, they were maybe overplaying him, but they got Big Save Dave as their backup now, David Rittich. Do they have to be careful with Cam Talbot down the stretch just in terms of how much they play him? Because, I mean, he is an NHL vet. He is, you know, well into his 30s. How do you see that playing out in terms of just workload down the stretch?
Yeah, I think certainly they're going to need to manage that workload. I definitely think a big part of his downturn kind of late December, early January time was just overwork for him. I mean, like you said, the guy in his late 30s, it's tough for any guy to sustain a consistent level of play. The one nice thing the Kings have had consistently is they don't give up a ton of high danger chances and they don't give up a ton of second chances. So they make it pretty easy on the goalie. They just need that first save, a couple big saves a game. They don't need Connor Hellebuck to be in there making 35 saves a game and being a Vezina caliber goalie. They don't need that kind of play from their goalies. And David Rittich's played some good hockey for them down the stretch. They can go kind of one for one, game for game, and then whoever's hot, I would assume they look towards Cam Talbot in the playoffs. But Jim Hiller's shown if David Rittich's playing better than Cam Talbot, he's going to have the net. It's going to be his. So I think certainly you just ride the hot hand down the stretch, and whoever's playing better around playoff time, that's who's going to start game one.
Big save, Dave. I like that, Ryan.
I didn't come up with it.
Real quick, Austin, before the coaching change was made, a lot of finger pointing going on in that room. Obviously, Drew Doughty calling players selfish. Have things kind of simmered down since the coaching change? And is there a better feeling that this team is now finally acting like a team?
Yeah, I think a lot was made of that Drew Doughty comment. And obviously you get a highly emotional guy after a really tough loss. And, you know, I don't doubt what he said. There's some truth in what he said. I never got the sense that locker room was fractured at all. I never got the sense there was many problems in that locker room. This is a team with a lot of really good leaders. Obviously, Doughty and Kopitar are in there. Phil Deneau, the guy who's been a captain in the NHL. Even some of the younger guys like Mikey Anderson or Adrian Kempe have gotten glowing reviews from their coaches and teammates as leaders. So I don't think there was ever that big of a problem in the locker room to begin with. And obviously, when you're winning games, a locker room is going to be a lot happier than a locker room that's losing games. So I think the biggest thing that's kind of aided that and brought the fun back into the room almost is just winning hockey games.
Hey, listen, I love drama, so maybe that's just me. Listen, Austin, thanks so much for coming on. After the break, we got more trade deadline talk. We're going to go through all the players on Ryan's big board trade list here. So stick with us. Hockey News pregame show coming up after the break.
Welcome back to the Hockey News pregame show. And Mike, it is trade deadline season. We've talked about it a lot on the show already, but let's look at some targets. Let's do not so much a rapid fire, that'll be next segment, but let's look at some of the big names still on the board right now and maybe where they can go. And I will also give you the option here. If you don't think a guy is going to get traded, then you can put his destination as wherever he is. We'll start off with Noah Hanifin, the two-way defenseman from the Calgary Flames. His name has been in rumor mills basically all season, and with Calgary already trading Lindholm and Tanev, feels like Hanifin or Jacob Markstrom are the next on the docket. So where do you see Noah Hanifin going, if anywhere?
Yeah, I see him going somewhere. It's just a matter of, you know, if you're trading for Hanifin, is it under the guise that you have to re-sign him? Because, you know, I think Calgary's looking to recoup a lot of picks and prospects for Hanifin, so it's going to be a dicey one. You know, can we just put New Jersey as the destination for almost all these guys that we're going to mention?
Right, right.
Because they need defensemen, and yeah. or they need goaltenders as well, and they need to get in the playoff spot. So when I'm looking at which teams are going to be the hungriest or which teams are going to go big game hunting, sure, Vegas is going to be there because they've got some cap space now, but I'm almost looking at those bubble teams. And it's going to be really interesting to see if the Devils are going to say, you know what, we need to get in the playoffs last year to build on the momentum from last season, or, you know, let's just punt this one and, you know, come back at it.
Let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, and then just worry about next year.
Yeah, I think it is a really vexing issue for the Devils and GM Tom Fitzgerald because, you know, we were talking before the show about what the price tags could be and, you know, would you be willing to sacrifice a Simone Nemec? I've even heard teams saying, well, you know, we'd love Dawson Mercer. But if you're the Devils, I mean, those guys are your future. I mean, 100%. Mercer's already, you know, to me, an integral part of the forward core. But, you know, are you willing to sacrifice players like that for a Hanifin or a Markstrom? And should you sacrifice either of them for a player of those, you know, that we're talking about?
That's the thing. It's like we're not talking about, and I'm sorry about Noah Hanifin, but we're not talking about a guy who's just a game changer here. And that's the thing. This year's trade deadline, like we saw the big fish already go out the door. Like Lindholm, in my money, I think that's still going to be
the
best. Yeah, and that includes a Jake Guentzel. I don't think Guentzel's going to get moved. And we'll talk a little bit about him in a sec, but yep. I have a feeling that this year's trade deadline pieces are all going to be either, you know, 5-6 defensemen, like more of those meat and potatoes, like defensive defensemen, or just kind of depth forwards. I don't think we have the high-flying or high-scoring kind of names out there this year.
I could see Hanifin going to Boston. He's local kid.
Yeah.
Played at Boston College. And the Bruins, you know, we really haven't talked about the Bruins much in this deadline, and the Bruins have been one of the best teams in the league pretty much all season. Yep. It almost feels like they deserve a treat from GM Don Sweeney, and Hanifin would fill that, where it's like, he doesn't have to be the number one guy, that's Charlie McAvoy, but you put him in a collective and maybe he just elevates everybody by, you know, putting, you know, getting people in their proper slots. Let's go to Jake Guentzel. You don't think he's going to get moved? You think he's Pittsburgh till he dies?
Pittsburgh's like 3 points back of, I think, the Capitals as we're talking right now with 2 games in hand. They're right in the mix. And, you know, I know from an outsider's perspective, 100% they should be blowing things up or doing a retool or rebuild. But let's face it, like, Kyle Dubas does not run that team. The guy who runs that team is Sidney Crosby. And he's got a supporting cast that have his back in Malkin, Letang, and Carlson. And I think when you've got those four guys and they're saying, no, 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 we're not in favor of a rebuild. We think we can go for it. I think they don't even care if they lose Guentzel in the offseason. They're close enough where, you know, we heard the comments from Dubas. He said this homestand is going to matter. Well, the Penguins haven't gone anywhere. They've got a lot of teams to climb over, but I don't think that they're going to, you know, punt Guentzel.
Yeah.
Or they shouldn't. How about that? Like, I know stranger things could happen, but, you know, when I've got Sidney Crosby, I've got a chance to do some damage. And I know he hasn't done much since winning back-to-back cups, but the guy's having a great year.
He certainly is. And it's tough because it's like, yeah, you don't want to bet against Crosby, but The past few years, the Penguins have not looked scary in the playoffs. And, okay, they got Erik Karlsson now, fair enough. But it just feels like the depth isn't there with this team. And for me, Pittsburgh has basically ignored developmental hockey for the past decade.
Yeah.
You know, if they make a first round selection, they end up trading the kid. You know, basically it's like, okay, Sam Poulin is still in the organization. You know, Braden Jaeger, who they just drafted, you know, obviously he's still, you know, a property of the Penguins. But I would love to see them move Guentzel because I don't think they're a threat. And get a first rounder for him. Because you could definitely get a first rounder for Jake Guentzel, even if it's a late first rounder.
I'm putting an asterisk on this. If they trade Guentzel, it's not going to be for like just a first rounder and a prospect that you don't see this year. It's going to be like a quote-unquote hockey trade.
Okay.
So maybe you get a younger version of Guentzel.
Uh-huh.
So a guy that still helps you out,
mm-hmm.
gets you younger, like you're saying, to kind of... you know, replenish things so that you can move forward mm-hmm. and you're not just stuck with a bunch of aging veterans on your team.
Right.
But I don't know if Guentzel gets you maybe two forwards or a forward and a D, but you got to get pieces that are still going to keep you in the playoff hunt.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I was thinking Jake Guentzel to Vegas because Vegas always makes a huge splash. So why don't we say Pavel Dorofeev and like a first or something like that for Guentzel? Would that get it done for you?
No, you need more than that. Right. Yeah, sorry.
Fair enough. Jake Allen, let's go a little quicker here. Jake Allen, do you see him going anywhere? He's in Montreal right now. Decent cap hit, not too bad.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of the goalie market. Like, where does Jake Allen fit when we're talking about guys like Jacob Markstrom, Elvis Merzlikins, Capo... Is it Kakkonen? Probably forgetting a couple names out there. It seems like a lot of guys. I think Marc-Andre Fleury's probably not going to get moved now. He doesn't seem like he wants to. Jake Allen, yeah, I think he gets moved.
How about Edmonton? A little bit of security there, you know?
Yeah, and you got a guy who's played in Montreal, so he's played in a pressure cooker.
Yep.
And it's not such a big culture shock going to Edmonton and being like, okay, well, the games matter.
Yeah. Let me throw another goalie at you, Juuse Saros. Now, Nashville doesn't have to move him, certainly.
Yeah.
But his name was out there.
Again, I don't think so.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Probably not, but one team that I thought would be really intriguing, Detroit. They've got cap space.
Yeah, and you send one of their goalies back the other way?
Exactly. Yeah,
like Hoffer, or
Detroit.
Oh, sorry, I'm thinking St. Louis.
Yeah.
I don't know. I again, like
reward.
We keep throwing out these big names, but if you're Nashville, you throw Juuse Saros, then it's like your goaltending is now stuck with.
Askarov's the future, baby.
The future, but then it's like you're just throwing him in there, similar to like a Buffalo with like Levi.
You're certainly saying we're out. If Nashville trades Saros, you're like, yeah, we're not keeping up, so we're punting on this season. It would certainly be a big choice.
Yeah, I just don't know if you're going to get the value back right now.
Fair enough. All right, well, we always get full value for rapid fire, and we got that coming after the break, so stick with us. Hey there, everybody. This is Ryan Kennedy, Editor-in-Chief of the Hockey News, and I have a new web column, Future Watch Weekly, that you should keep an eye out for. Every week, I look at the developmental world of hockey from NCAA, Major Junior, all points in between. So check it out every Friday morning at THN.com.
Welcome back to the Hockey News pregame show. Ryan, what time we got?
Rapid fire time.
All right, producer Connor, hit us up with some questions.
All right, we didn't talk about it, but we did talk about it on Tuesday. Leafs taking on the Rangers tonight, which means Ryan Reaves versus Matt Rempe. Does it happen? And if it does, who wins?
It's totally happening. I am going to the game tonight. Just because I was like, oh, Matt Rempe, Ryan Reaves, going to happen. And I would love for Peter Laviolette and Sheldon Keefe to just, like, put those guys out in the starting lineup and be like, let's just get it over with. We know what everybody wants. I think Ryan Reaves will win. People have pointed out, I think John Scott was the latest, that he actually reached out to Matt Rempe and was like, you are big and you are long, but you have to know how to harness that because otherwise it can be a hindrance. Ryan Reaves is one of the most experienced fighters in the league, so I think he's going to win just on technical prowess alone.
Yeah, I don't think it should happen, but I think you're right. I think it does happen, and I hope for Matt Rempe's case that they they go more WWE style for this one, and it's not a real, like, no one's trying to actually hurt each other.
Uh-huh.
Because I think it can be great for fans.
Yep.
And I think we're starting to see that buzz, but, you know, the last thing I want is, you know, Rempe's taken a lot of good licks already, and, mm-hmm. you know, you mentioned Ryan Reeves, he is the toughest guy. He's the strongest fighter I think I've seen in a long time. So, yeah, for Matt Rempe's case, I hope this one is just a fun one for the fans.
There you go, there you go.
For the sake of Matt Rempe's black eye, I hope it doesn't happen.
That's right.
What did you make of Jacob Markstrom's comments yesterday? Does it spell the end of his time in Calgary?
Well, I like that he stuck up for himself and voiced his displeasure on things, you know, how leaks and rumors have been handled in Calgary. We do have to remember that these are human beings with families and homes 100%. And roots. And it really feels like he's going to get traded, but maybe that's just because we all love to think about who's going to different teams. Like, we want people traded mm-hmm. because it's fun for us because we're not the ones moving. I don't know. I could see him sticking around in Calgary. You know, I mean, he's not a rental.
Yeah, I had no problems with the comments. I think people forget that, you know, even last week I kept hearing, oh, do the Flames hold on to players because they're kind of still in the mix?
Mm-hmm.
He lost one of his best friends in Lindholm to Vancouver. That hurt him, apparently. Mm. Losing Tanev, again, as a guy who was there for a lot of years, probably hurt as well. And I think this is a proud guy. And like you mentioned, no one likes when leaks got here. You hear about leaks. Oh, has this guy waived his no movement clause? Has he not? And Markstrom is in charge of his destiny. So if mm-hmm. he doesn't want to go anywhere, he doesn't have to waive that clause. So, you know, all signs point to maybe he's staying just to kind of stick it to them.
Mm. And he and Tanev, I think, go back to Vancouver too. So
good point. Yep.
Quite a relationship there.
Yep.
How much should we read into Colorado clearing Curtis McDermott's cap hit yesterday in the trade with the Devils? Is there anything there?
Yeah, it's funny. It's like we haven't talked about Colorado as a mover, a shaker too much in terms of trades. But, I mean, the Avs, like, again, if you can tweak and make yourself a little better and add that one remaining piece, and, hey, maybe they already got that piece in Ross Colton, you know, in the offseason. I don't know.
Maybe they're going to get it in Landeskog if he comes back.
Round two or three. I actually look at this the other way. In New Jersey acquiring Curtis McDermott, I think it's Matt Rempe insurance. Just in case. This is like we used to have Tom Wilson insurance.
Yeah.
Now the Devils, they're looking at their lineup and it's like, okay, Nathan Bastian, like, maybe he can fight him. Kevin Ball's big, but he's not a great NHL fighter. Curtis McDermott could take on Matt Rempe and win. So I'm just saying.
Yeah, fighters tend to get moved right before the deadline because you don't need fighting in the playoffs, Ryan. And I know you do need some Matt Rempe insurance possibly or Tom Wilson insurance, but, you know, aside from the first round and maybe the first couple games of the first round, fighting kind of goes away. So I could see, you know, the Avs being like, you know, McDermott's a great guy in the regular season, but, you know, we need some players who are going to be playoff performers, and maybe that's why. And I wouldn't be surprised if Colorado goes completely all in this year, thinking they're the best team.
Fair.
All right. Ottawa ended Arizona's 14-game losing streak last night as their incredible season continues. Are there any bright spots for Ottawa?
Nah. I mean, like, unfortunately, like, I thought this was the year the Senators would be, like, fun to watch, and it didn't happen. The biggest shame for me was Shane Pinto getting suspended for the first half of the season. And because I'm a big Shane Pinto fan, I wanted to see him on the ice, see what he could do. I feel he could have been part of the solution to Ottawa's problem of not taking that next step. Didn't happen. So I don't know. Like, yeah, what is good in Ottawa right now? It just seems like kind of a lost season.
Yeah, it's not looking so good for Ottawa. I'm just pulling up the stats right now, and everyone is having a bad year, Ryan. So it's not looking good for Stützle. It's not looking good for Brady Tkachuk. Mm-hmm. Vladimir Tarasenko might be the bright spot in the sense that, you know, he's going to recoup a decent pick for them.
Maybe.
All right, last question. Predict how many trades happen between this show and Tuesday's show. We'll say midnight Monday.
Okay.
Okay. Last season, between February 25th and 28th, there were 21. just to give you a bit of a ballpark.
Okay. I don't know why, but I think it's going to be all, like, last second. So I'm going to say 10, and then mad scramble.
I think there's going to be a lot of trades. I don't think there's going to be a lot of interesting or big-name trades this year. Listen, that's all the time we've got for today's show. Thank you to BetMGM and NorthlandHockey.com. Again, this was the Hockey News Pregame Show. See you next time at the rink.